ロンドン発英語よもやま話。
こんにちは、通訳者の平松理恵です。
こんにちは、翻訳者のランサムハナです。
皆さんいかがお過ごしでしょうか。今週も最終回になりましたけども、イレニアの話を聞いていきたいと思います。今週も Your Life in 5 Minutes のコーナーがやってまいりました。今月最後になりますけれども、イタリア人のロンドンに、居住しているお友達イレニアさんにお越しいただきました。 Hi イレニア。
こんにちは。 Hi everyone. Hi.
Yo, こんにちは。 It's becoming better. I mean, you sound like Japanese person. I almost spoke to you in Japanese.
Thank you so much, Ria. I'm flattered. I'd love to learn Japanese. It might be my next language, actually.
I'm sure you'll be good at it.
I'm very intriguing. Very, very intriguing.
Ah, that's great. Yeah. So what are we going to talk about this week?
Well, I was thinking, because obviously last week we talked about Interplex and how, you know, you can try and learn a language and at mm-hmm. the same time have fun and have, you know, even learn your language on the go. I was thinking I can just share with you and with everyone who's listening my experience on how I keep learning and keep developing, you know, my language, English mm-hmm. language. Mm-hmm. As I said, obviously, I mean, it really works for me. Yeah. And every day, you know, you can be out and about and you come across a billboard or, you know, a slogan when you are in the supermarket and you don't know a term. And what I tend to do, and this actually is really, really helping me, and I started when I was at university here in London. I keep on my iPhone, you know, you have Note.
So yeah, I tend the generic, to write generic app.
Just a generic app. Yeah. And I tend to write a term that I don't know on Note. Mm-hmm. And this is really, really, like, this really helped me, at least at first. And then I would put the English term that I don't know, and obviously the translation in Italian. Yeah. And then what I tend to say to myself, and that's what I, obviously, before I did it more constantly, you know, regularly, I tend to write that term down because I have quite a visual memory, so it sticks to my mind when I see it. But also to use that word at least four times in a space of a week so that it sticks to my mind. Because sometimes, at least that's with me, when you see or you hear a new term, if you don't use it, then it will just go. At least I have a bad memory. So I need to make sure.
Out of sight, out of mind. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I get that. I have the same issue. That when you are interpreting, you know, during the meeting, new words, new phrases, basically like a technical terms crop up.
Yeah.
And you just jot it down on the right hand side, probably on the edge of the notebook. And then by the end of the day, it gets all kind of jumbled. Because you've got a page after page, and then when you have to go back to it to pick it up and add in your glossary on the computer or something, it just becomes quite cumbersome. How do you do that? I'm sure you do a similar, process.
Yes, no, actually, I tend to write it on my notes as well. So on the notebook, for example, usually it's the...
Do you mean notes as in on the
notes on paper as well? No, on paper. So you know when you're just interpreting physical notes. So on the notepad, it would be on the left corner, on the top left corner, and I can just write just one, two words or three words. You know, especially I don't know. For example, medical terms, they can be quite long. Quite complicated sometimes if you're not used to that particular term. So I just want to make sure that it's there in case I have to say it and I don't remember it. So at least for the very, you know, the first time or first few times. And then if I come across a new term and, you know, you're taking notes physically, then I just tend to write it at the bottom of the page and then or either circle it or square it. Usually I square it so that I differentiate it from
my other notes. Because you don't change the color of the pen, yes?
I don't think I have time.
You have time.
You don't really have time, yes, when you take notes.
That's exactly my problem. Like when I do it, it's so hard to basically find it again because it's kind of buried among all the notes you take for interpreting.
Okay. I tend to, you know, after an assignment, I tend to go back home, have a look at my notes. And usually I write these words on the top left corner or at the bottom of the page.
Not the right corner. Top. Right.
No, left corner at the very top. Very top.
And usually the margin.
The margin. Margin, and also it's quite small, so it's fine. I know that I won't get mixed
up. So you can go back to it immediately.
I usually square it when I'm just, you know, it's between you know, when I'm after I'm interpreting, or if I hear the client saying a new term, especially if it's, you know, a component or a part of an engine, you know, something very specific that I haven't heard, then I tend to write it at the bottom of the page and square it.
Because these words, we don't tend to find on the internet, and it's something very specific, right? Like very technical, but like internal jargons, aren't they?
Yes. It did happen to me, actually, now that you mentioned this, a couple of weeks ago, and it was a very long interpreting assignment for 2 weeks at a glass manufacturing factory. So it was very specific and it was very technical. There were no glossaries available about this kind of area, just very few terms. And it's only when I went there, you know, during that assignment, that I had to write down a lot of new terms, you know, and sometimes even ask the client, because obviously you won't be able to find a specific component, again, as I was saying before. So, you know, I think we also, as linguists, or even just if you're not a professional translator and interpreter, I think we don't have to be scared to ask people if we don't understand something, you know, a term, or to say, how would you say it, you know, in your field of expertise? So that next time it comes up, we know exactly what they use. And it's actually quite nice for the client to use their, you know, the term that they want to hear, because sometimes it can vary, you know, the same term can be translated in different ways.
Rather than keeping quiet and then basically follow through. Yeah, I agree with you. This year, complete turn of a topic.
Okay.
2019, in Japan, there's going to be a Rugby World Cup.
How exciting for you guys.
The following year, it'll be Tokyo 2020, you know, Olympic and Paralympic Games. I'm sure there are people who are in the omotenashi industry. We mean like to receive all the tourists from all over the world. And it would be very helpful for them to learn some Italian phrases or words that they can use when they encounter Italian tourists or guests. Okay. To receive guests at their premises, please.
That's nice. Let me think. I mean, one very simple thing that people can say, especially when there is a delegation, you know, from Italy, they can say, benvenuti, è un piacere avervi qui. So benvenuti. It might be a bit quick.
Benvenuti,
which is welcome.
Yes.
È un piacere avervi qui. So it is a pleasure to have you all here. So welcome. It is a pleasure to have you all here, which is quite nice, you know, both in English and Italian. So shall I say it one more time?
Slowly.
Slowly.
Yes.
So, benvenuti. È un piacere avervi qui.
Benvenuti. È un piacere.
Un piacere avervi qui.
Avervi qui.
Perfect. Yes. Great pronunciation.
Like
your Italian pronunciation is getting better as well.
Thank you. I love the language. I wish I could speak it, but fantastic. Thank you very much.
So, yes, I think it can be a phrase that people can, a very versatile phrase as well, so people can use it.
Really? So,
yes.
They memorize this and then they can say it to anyone, Italian, basically.
A group. Obviously, a group of people.
Okay.
Because we are referring as you all. Again, in Italian, then you have you formal and you informal. So that would be, if you want it to be formal, obviously, because it's going to be quite formal. So you say benvenuto. È un piacere averla qui.
That's for
formal.
Formal. Oh, okay.
Male and female. So you can use it, you know, in a formal occasion. Both, and you can refer to a male or a female with benvenuto or benvenuta if it's a female.
A woman.
È un piacere averla qui.
Piacere averla qui. Okay.
Perfect.
Fantastic.
Yes.
We can practice. Great. Okay, everyone, we're going to practice this. So next time we see Italian tourists, this is what we're going to say.
That would be amazing. And if I hear it, you know, on the TV, you never know. You know, that would be nice, especially when they say it in Japanese first and then in English.
Yeah.
They say it in Italian now. So it's great.
Yeah. I remember it was a Nelson Mandela. You speak to their mind.
To their mind. Probably their heart.
Speak their language. You speak to their heart, or you know, reach their heart, or something like that. I haven't got it, you know, perfectly right. I have to do it.
I think that's a great point, because you know when you speak to someone in their language and they understand, you can create that connection, an instant connection with that person. So it's always great, even if you don't know that language that well.
Yeah.
Just so that person sees that you're making an effort to, you know, to welcome them in their language. I think it's great.
Yeah. It means the world to them, wouldn't it?
Yes.
It makes a world of difference, really.
In a language.
If you talk to a man in a language he understands, that goes to his head. If you talk to him in his language, that goes to his heart.
Very powerful. I think that's absolutely true. It's true. Yes.
Yeah. We should so do it. Fantastic. Great, Elenia. Thank you very much for coming for 4 weeks and become a special guest and bringing
us
all these insights, sharing your experience. Thank you. Do you have a special message to the audience?
I think, first of all, thank you so much, Ria, for inviting me, and thank you guys for listening. I hope you all enjoyed. And I think just don't give up on the language. You have to practice, and practice. And I know that this is such a simple advice and suggestion, but it's true. I mean, every day, you know, it can be for films, people, speak to, if you're learning English, speak to English people. Can make friends, and it's a great way to learn the language. And just always listen for new words, write them down, or just make a note of it and use them. And I'm sure that you will speak very very good English at the end of it.
Great, thank you, Elenia.
Thank you so much, Ria, and thank you to everyone.
Time for us to say goodbye.
Perfect. How do you say goodbye in Japanese?
In Japanese, sayonara.
Sayonara. Sayonara.
And arrivederci.
Arrivederci.
Okay.
Bye, guys. Bye, Rie. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you very much. Bye, Elenia.
Bye.
というわけで、まあ、イレニアの話の最終回を聞いていただいたんですけれども、まあ、彼女は結構出てきた信号を ノートの端とかに書いていて、それを私も書くんですけど、逐次通訳で作ったノートの端とかに、でも別にペンの色とかも変えてないし、そうすると家に帰ってからさあ、新しい用語とか言い回しをピックアップしようと思っても埋もれちゃって分からなくなるんですね。で、彼女にどうしてるのって聞いたら、四角で囲んでるとか。
へぇー。なるほどね。
ちょっとやってみよう。
ペンの色は変えてない。
変えてないって言うんですよ。私変えてやってたこともあるんだけど、あのね、あれはね、あんまり立ってやるときは良くないですね。座りだといいんですけど。
ああ。
うん。
なるほどね。
と思いましたね。あとは、その街中とか、いろいろで拾った表現とかを、1週間に4回使うって言ってましたよね。
ああ、そう、決めてるんですね。
4回は使うようにしてる。1回出会っただけでも忘れるから、4回使って定着するかしら。
確かに。
それ以下は私が言ってはいけない。
微妙ですね。
彼女はね、あの、大学のコースにいた時から真面目な子で、イタリア人の人口多かったんですけど、その中で、一番勤勉だった気がする、きます。もう一人いましたけどね、すごく真面目な子が。でもエージェントもやっててっていうと、やっぱり、あれだと、翻訳もやってるみたいなので。
ああ、そうですか。
多分一生懸命なんだと思いますね。たまにあの仕事来ますよ、彼女のところから。日本語なんだけど、って言って。
はい、ああ、そうですか。
そうです、そうです、そうなんです。で、がらりと話は変わるんですけども。
は
あ。エピソード数が53回を超えましてですね。
ほう。
つまり1年経ったんですよ。
あ、もう1周年ですか。
よもやまが始まってから。本当にあの、
ね、お世話
になりました、なっております。そして一番皆さんに聞いていただいてお世話になっております。ありがとうございます。
ありがとうございます。
早かったですね。
ぼちぼちね、ご意見とかご要望いただいて、早かったですよね。1年経ったですね。今年また早いけど。
本当。
本当に4分の1終わったか、終わろうとしてますが。4分の1って大きいと思いませんか？
大きいですね、本当に。
大きいですよね。早いわ、本当に。なんか、済ませられることが少ない。で、ますます、良い番組にしていくべく、精進していきたいと思っておりますので、ぜひぜひ、ご意見、ご要望、ご感想など、ツイッターを使ってらっしゃる方は、アットツイートで私のところにしていただいてもいいですし、E メールでもいいですし、Facebook のよもやまの番組グループ、番組のグループがあるので、そちらの方に入っていただいて、お寄せいただいてもいいですので、ぜひぜひこんなの取り上げてほしいとかですね。なんかありましたら、ぜひぜひお願いします。で、花さんは、実はね、言っちゃっていいですか？
はい。
よもやまを始めるときに、私話ベタなんですよ、こういうの苦手なんですよっておっしゃってたと思うんですが、
そうそうそう、そうなんです。それを克服するためにそもそもこの番組に挑戦をしたんです、私。ぶっちゃけ
だから、でもこの1年間ここまでの、花さんはすごくいろいろあったじゃないですか。
そうですね、本も出たし、
大
学で教え始めたりとか、いろいろありました。大きな変化の中で、ひたすら、なんか喋ることが多くなる、あれではあったのかなと思うんですけど。
すごく慣れたじゃないですか。だってあれでしょ？テキサス大学でその日本語を教えてるときって、教授言語は、英語。
日本語を教えてるんですけれども、文法とかの説明とかはやはり英語じゃないとわからないので、
ということは、よほどそんな話ベタって言って、しどもどろ、私がしどろもどろでした。ごめん。しどろもどろな言い方してたらみんな納得しないわけで。
それはそうですね。
ですよね。
なんか、でも本当私喋るの苦手だと思ってたんですよね。だって20年もう在宅で仕事して、人と話す機会もそんなにね、ありませんでしたし。
ほとんどこう、パソコンと夫と話すぐらいしか
話
し
ないで。パソコンと話す。
いない状況で、最初なんかリエさんに、ポッドキャストやりませんかって言われたとき、えとか言って、できるわけないじゃんって思いました。
そうですね。何回かお話しましたもんね。
そう、そのためにできるわけないじゃんって言ってたんですよ。
そうです、そうです。
そう。
そうそうそう。なんかすっごく嫌でしょうがないのを説得したっていう感じではないけど、でも、何を喋るんですか、こう、何を言ったらいいのかなとかっていうような感じの話し合いを結構しましたよね。
そう、すごい苦手意識強かったんですよ。
いや
それで、ある時からなんか、苦手だからこそやらなきゃいけないっていうふうに発想を転換しましてですね。
素晴らしい。
いやいやいや。苦手だからこそちょっと人の2倍やらなきゃと思って。
いや、素晴らしい。
いやいやいや、でも本当にそうですから。自信のないことは2倍やらないとね、自信にならないじゃないですか。
で、1年やってみて、自信にこう、なってきましたか？
慣れましたよね、やはりね。なんて言うんですかね。そんな緊張して言葉が出てこないっていうことはなくなりましたね。で、あと、きっとリエさんが上手にリードしてくださるっていうのもあると思いますけど。
いやいや、花さん。いや、私は、多々ありましたよ。花さんにリードされてるなーって言って。
え、本当ですか？
うん、本当、本当、本当にあります。
あら、それは、それは嬉しいですね。
ねえ、いやー、本当にありがとうございます。私も、いろんな意味で成長させていただいた1年間でしたけど、うん、ここからはもうますますね、いろんな。
そうですね。楽しかったですよね。まあ。
そうですね。1年やってみて、構成も変えてですね。
うん。
構成で。で、Your Life in 5 Minutes も何ヶ月かちょっとお休みいただいてたんですけど、
紹
介して、
ね、
また、どんどんやっていきたいなと。ますます、いい番組にしていきたいなと思っているので、
うん、
It takes two to tango って言いますけど、この場合は三かしら。
うん、そうですね。
ですね、皆さんの、
う
ん、
う
ん、
そうそう。
やっぱりこう、聞いてくださる皆さんがいて、
うん、うん、うん。
ご意見とか、コメントとかも結構いただいたりとかしてるので、
そうそうそう、そう、う
ん。励みになりますし、ぜひぜひ。
そうです。
情報とかね、どこまで答えられるかっていうのはちょっとわからない部分はあるけれども、できる限り、反映させていきたいというふうに思っていますので、うん、ぜひぜひ皆さんからよろしくお願いします。花さんのご本に関係のあるコンテンツもこれから出していきます。
はい、
し、
よ
ろしくお願いします。夫が作る、まあ、英語の、まあ、うん、別にこっちの他の媒体ではどこにも載っていない、元気に、お届けしていきたいと思っておりますので、ぜひ皆さん、これからもお付き合いのほどよろしくお願いいたします。
よろしくお願いいたします。
では今週はここまでで、どうもありがとうございました。それではまた来週。バーイ。